Thank you for joining me again today. We are discussing right division, and this is number 3 of our series on rightly dividing the word of truth. Last time we spoke about right division in the gospel, and we learned that if you do not understand the principle of right division, rightly dividing the word of truth, you will probably not know what to tell an unbeliever. And we learned last time that great important principle that right division even affects how we proclaim the gospel to others. Well, today we're going to discuss a few other items on rightly dividing the word of truth. And first, one of the things that's very important is for if you live with a family and there's multiple people in your family and the mail comes, mail will be addressed to different people within your family, and we have to recognize the name on the envelope. So if there's a large family living in a home and the mailman comes and somebody fetches the mail and lays it on the kitchen table, Bobby is not going to open up Susie's mail. Bobby's going to make sure Susie gets her own direct mail. Now, the Bible is very similar. The Bible is a series of letters written by a father to a numerous family. And Ephesians 3 talks about every family in heaven and earth. And so what a father says to one son under one set of circumstances in a certain time may be different than what he writes to another son in another time in a different set of circumstances. So we must find out where we are and put our letters into operation. So we see the Bible as is the father writing to this numerous family, and there are letters written to one group in the family and letters written to another group in the family. What's important that we read our direct mail and seek to put that into practice. Now, what God says to other members of the family is of interest to us. You and I, listening today, were very interested in what God said to Israel in the Old Testament and what God said to Israel in the four Gospels and the book of Acts and so forth. They interest us because they're God's word. However, I, as a Gentile in this time, would not seek to put into practice the things that God told Israel to do. I am going to believe it, and I know it's true what he wrote to Israel, but I, as a Gentile today, would not seek to try to put something into practice that is not written directly to me. So let us look at the names on the envelope. For instance, if we turn to the book of James, and I think this is very important, and people use James all the time, they teach James, and it's good to teach James. But we must recognize something when we teach James. It's one thing to interpret James. It's another thing to seek to put something into practice. And before we go further in that, let's look at James 1, verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, I want you to notice that James is not writing to the body of Christ. James is not writing to what we would call the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. James is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in the body of Christ there, the distinction between Jew and Gentile is obliterated. And the middle wall partition is broken down, and he creates the Jew and Gentile into one new man. But here James is writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And so I can read this and get instruction from James, but there are some things that I would not do or attempt to do. For instance, James talks about going to a synagogue, and he also talks about those who are sick should call for the elders to pour oil or anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith would heal that man. I would not follow that direction today. When I'm sick, I don't call for anyone to pour oil or anoint me with oil. But I know that James is writing to a specific group of people in a specific time frame with specific instructions to them. And I learn about God in James, and I learn about what God has to say to others. But I, as a member of the body of Christ, would not seek to put James' letter into operation. Let's also turn to Peter. Let's see something that Peter says in his letters. 1 Peter, in verse 1, we read this of chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers and to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and so forth. And this is written to a group called the strangers. These are strangers who are scattered, and this is referring to the Jewish people. And as a matter of fact, when you read Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul pointed out how Peter was the apostle for the circumcision, and the circumcision is the Jewish people, and Peter is addressing the dispersion of the Jewish people. Now, we'll take the book of Hebrews, for instance. Hebrews is a wonderful book. People have always questioned, who is the apostle in Hebrews? Well, the apostle is Christ Jesus. If you've heard our series on the life and letters of Paul, we pointed out that the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest apostle. But Hebrews, just by even the name itself, is addressed to and is about the Hebrew people. And the things written in Hebrews are meant to instruct them regarding things that are particular to that nation. Now, some have accused us, dispensationalists they call us, and we believe in right division, and we believe that there are dispensations in the Bible. Some people say that we're robbing you of your Bible. But we believe that in practicing the principle of right division, we're letting the Bible speak for itself. Now, I'm about to say something, and I want you to pay attention to this statement that I'm about to tell you because I think it's important. Here it is. If we do not rightly divide the word of truth, we will come to a portion of Scripture that we will either ignore or modify so we can suit our beliefs. I'm going to repeat that line again. If we do not rightly divide, we will come to a portion of Scripture that we will either ignore or modify. If all the Bible is just a hodgepodge of information, if Israel is the church and the church is Israel, and the heaven is earth and earth is heaven, you're just simply going to explain it all away. One person said to me once, because he does not believe in dispensationalism, he's more of a post-millennial person, I asked this particular man, where do you hope to go one day? What is the home of the believer? Well, he said, it's heaven. And I said, well, how come Matthew 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth? Why are you talking about going to heaven when Matthew talks about the earth being something that is inherited by the believers? And he said, well, it just means the same thing. So in other words, God can't tell us what he means, and he can't mean what he says. Because if heaven means earth and earth means heaven, how can we believe anything God says if words have no meaning? And this is, dispensational truth, right division, is not just a matter of a system of interpretation. It's a matter of the character of God. Dispensational truth will recognize that God means what he says, and he says what he means. When he means heaven, he doesn't mean earth, and when he means earth, he doesn't mean heaven. And this is an important thing, friends. Now, having said that, there are three spheres of blessing. And what I mean by that, there are three distinct places mentioned in the Scripture that God's people, the redeemed, will be living in. And we're going to talk about the three spheres of blessing. First of all, in Matthew 5, we quote this verse very often, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, what are you going to do with this when you say that you are going to heaven? If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, what are you going to say about a verse like this in Matthew 5 where he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth? And there are some people in Christendom who pray this prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know that prayer. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's an earthly hope. There is a certain group of people that are going to inherit the earth. God told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he had promised to the nation, to their descendants, a land, and he describes the length and breadth of it in the Old Testament. He gives you the boundaries of it. Israel is going to inherit the land. And on the new earth, as we're going to see in the book of Revelation, if you read Revelation 20 through 22, on the new earth, we're going to see Israel, and you're going to see nations populating the new earth. So there is blessings for those on earth. And then we read in Galatians and Hebrews that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And that place is called the New Jerusalem. We don't read about the New Jerusalem in the Old Testament, but in Hebrews we learn that Abraham looked for this city. And it is a city that comes down from heaven, and the land of and this city that comes down from heaven and the land of Palestine are not the same thing. The New Jerusalem, which comes down from God out of heaven, and the earth and the land that God gives to Israel, they're not the same. If they are, the Bible is a bunch of stories and we should not waste our time with it. If the New Jerusalem and the earth are the same thing, why bother? And then finally, in the last sphere of blessing, the last place for God's redeemed is in the heavenly places itself. And in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 6, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." This is not just heavenly in character. The word heavenly is in the Bible, but only in Paul's letter to the Ephesians and in Philippians do we read that people are going to dwell in heaven. Nowhere outside of these letters of Paul do we read of anybody living in heaven. And Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. So when we practice right division, we'll recognize that there's a place for people to inherit the earth, the New Jerusalem, and the heavenly places. And we'll continue on this thought next time.